Well, good morning. Today starts our new series, Seen. This title is this way because we're starting the book of John, as you just heard. And in the book of John, we get to see a Jesus Christ over and all over. It's interesting. There's this line that pops up. It's about how Jesus saw the person. He has compassion on them. We're seen by God. And in being seen by God, we get to see how much he loves us. This year, as a church, we're going over the whole year. We want us to be disciples who love God and who love others. We thought for the first 3 months of this year, we want to dig into the book of John and see this Jesus and how he interacts with people like us. And it's when we see Jesus Christ and his love towards us, and we're going to start like loving God in new and fresh ways. So as you came in this morning, some of you, most of you probably had this John journal in your seat, okay? So if you don't, there should be one close to you and some neighbors around you. We want every single person in this church to take one of these. This is a resource over these next 3 months. We want to equip us to meet with God. And one way we do that, you hear this over and over and over, is by slowing down, engaging in scripture. It's to take a moment to read. You'll notice this is a great tool to use at church. You're going to have John on one side of the page. You're going to have a lot of places to take notes. This is a great place to bring it on Sunday mornings to really say, hey, yeah, I want to dig in to John. We're going to let you know this week, I'm going to send out a post of, hey, here's where we're going to go in our series too over the next 3 months. So you could even kind of jump ahead if you wanted, read maybe the passage that's coming up that week. So we're going to offer you some tools. This is one of the ways we want to equip you to love God and love others this year. This is one of the tools. So I'm so glad. We want to be a church that is all about God's word. So this is a tool for you. I hope you will utilize this. If you know of people in your community groups that are not here this week, don't take a Bible, but tell them, grab a Bible next week or the week after. Every other week, we're going to have the Bibles at our info table. So again, if you know people that are not here this week, let them know you got to get the John Journal. It's going to be at the info table next week, okay? Again, I'm so excited for this series, because I love just looking at the person of Jesus Christ. John sets us up here in John 1. He starts his gospel in a very different way than the gospels of Matthew, Luke, and John. John really starts almost in this other world. I mean, he's using language that just makes our imagination go wild. In the beginning was the Word. What is that? This is the foundation. So when you build a building, you build on a foundation. This is the foundation. These 18 verses are the foundation of the book of John. John is writing this book so that everyone would read this story, this life of Jesus Christ, and believe that he is God, the Son of God, and he is the Messiah. And that when you believe in him, you will have eternal life. You will have everlasting life. And just believing in him, this is the foundation of the whole book. We are going to go in the next few months about how he interacts with people. We're going to look at this, but John has to start us on who is Jesus. And he goes way back. You know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, they start with an interesting place, which is a lot of times his birth or early ministry. John's going to go back, and when he builds his foundation, the cornerstone of his foundation is the foundation of the whole Bible, which is Genesis 1 through 3. He's going to start us with this phrase, in the beginning. Where does that happen? Do you know another place that starts with in the beginning? God made the heavens and the earth. It's the very first line of the Bible. He takes us back. Today, we want to look and see, what is John saying about who Jesus is? And if we know this Jesus, what happens to us? Life. Adoption. Eternal life. I mean, it's amazing. So we're going to dig in. We need to ask the Spirit to come and help us see just the amazing things in his word. So if you would with me, let's take a moment. If you're new with us, just at the beginning of this time of our message, I just take a moment to listen to God. I want us all to just take a little brief pause before I pray and just open ourselves up and listen to God. Let's pray. Father, would you send your Spirit here at this time that we may hear, that we may see, that we may experience the Word? Who was with God? Who was God? Who was in the beginning with God? In him is life. And this life is the light of all men. Help us hear, help us see, Spirit, help us in some way today understand who your Son is. Father God, we come in this time, we just give this time and space and these people to you. Amen. These first 4-5 verses, actually, of John jump right in. They jump in right to the beginning. This is the foundation of the whole book of John, and he's going to go back all the way to the foundation of the whole Bible, which is Genesis 1, 2, and 3. It is where God creates the world. The whole foundation of the whole Bible, if it had a foundation, is Genesis 1, 2, and 3. It sets up everything that comes afterwards. John's now setting his foundation within that, on top of that foundation. And so he begins us, and let me read it one more time for us. In these first 5 verses, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Do you see how poetic that is? How imaginative that is? I mean, this is much different than the shepherds on a hillside, Mary in a house, an angel comes in that room. You see how we're in a totally different, it almost seems like, universe in some ways. It's like we're brought back to before there was anything. John wants us to know who Jesus is. The Word. He starts with, I want you to know the Word. In the beginning was the Word. And he quickly goes into who the Word was. The Word was with God. So right quickly, we get to see the Word was kind of alongside God. But then it seems weird, it kind of blurs the line when he says, and the Word was God. whoa, what is going on here? In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He sets us again in Genesis, and we want to kind of think about what was going on in Genesis 1. What happens in Genesis 1? God speaks. He has a word. The first thing he says on day one that we know is, let there be light. I heard it. Light. John focuses, it's as if he's reading Genesis and just pondering on it. He says, you know who Jesus is? He's the Word. It's almost like two characters. Almost. It's like there's the Word and there's God. But then he tangles them together as well. The Word was God. It is here that we get to see a couple things. Just at the very beginning of this passage, we get to see that the Word is eternal. The Word is like before time. He's in the beginning. He's with God. He's not created. He's totally separate. He is not a created being. He is before creation. He is the one giving all creation and making everything. We get to see that he was with God, so there's some sort of distinction from God, but we also get to see he is God. This is where the doctrine of the Trinity kind of comes in as a real importance to the life and health of the church. We say the phrase that God is in three persons. One God, three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And here, John sets us in that reality. But this picture, it sets us in this amazing scene. Before time, there's the Word, there is God in this relationship. He's in the beginning with God. And I think that phrase is just so amazing. He was with God. If there's anything that I want in my life now, it is to be with God. It is in his presence that there is a fullness of joy. There is perfect peace. And God and the Word are with each other. And this dance and celebration and life is just all in it. It is a perfect communion. And what happens is this love overflows and it just starts creating things. It's in verse 3 that we get to see this. It says, all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. There's nothing in this place that you can see, touch, feel, or smell that is not in some ways God's love incarnated. It is his work. It is all by his power. He's made every single thing on this planet. And every single thing in the heavens, every single thing that we cannot see, anything that's made, the Word made it. And he's put his stamp of himself in it. It's like when we look out, we are just seeing every single thing that the Word made. And John's trying to tune our eyes. He's trying to help us see. He's trying to help us see this Jesus Christ has his imprint and handprint. Everything has his, like, bears his name. Everything that we can see. When you look in your telescope, you just can't get beyond what the Word has made. Those black holes, those galaxies, those planets, those comets, those stars, everything in them, he did. He made. On the smallest level, on the subatomic levels, the levels that we cannot see, it is him. It is in him that has made every single thing. And he holds it all together by his word and his power. Verse 4 and 5 tell us this. It introduces this new theme of light into the passage and life. Listen to this. In him, in the word, was life. And the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Man, in these first five verses, I feel like you could preach at least five sermons on just these five verses. Okay, there is just so much going on, particularly here. In him was life. Every bit of existence in this room, just think about it. You're all living. You know what John's trying to get you to think about? Why you live. Because in him was life. That's why it's the light of all men. He's the light of all men. This life is light. It's the light of all men, and the light shines in the darkness. It cannot. The darkness cannot overcome his life and his light. I mean, he ties these patterns together. If you know anything about John, he loves the picture of life and light. In 1 John, he talks about how we as followers of God, we should always be walking in the light. And it's these concepts that make you stand back and go, man, can you just tell me what to do, John? What does it mean to walk in the light? Like, how do I know how to walk in the light? He's trying to give us metaphors. This is a metaphor. What he's trying to do is help us to engage with God in sometimes a way that just standard instruction can't do. Here's what I think John's doing. In some ways, he's helping us be like the Psalms do for ourselves. It helps us, when you talk about God, he is above us. He is beyond us. If Jesus Christ is the Word, if he is the Word that is God, he's above and beyond, and he's giving us these metaphors for us to enter into in our time and think, man, what does it mean that in him was life? It allows our imagination to just kind of run wild and maybe help us understand in some ways all the things that Jesus is involved in this world and in this universe and in ourselves. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. He sets us again. John sets us in these first five verses. This is the word. The Word who was with God, the Word who was God, who was in the beginning with God. It was he who creates. It is he in whom all life existed, and it flowed out of who he was into every single thing that he created. Light and life always go together. The metaphor is a great image. If you really do know anything about light, is like it's impossible to have life where there is no light. Light and life always go hand in hand, and it almost makes sense to why the first thing in creation, we read back to Genesis, that's created is let there be light. Light and life always go together. And here what he is saying is Jesus and life are always going together. It's not just a mere coincidence that we're all living here today, that we all have life. Abundant life is also in this word, is what John's going to help us get to. And then he gets into, man, what happens when this light comes into the world though? He leads us, he goes, this was the Word, the one who was at the beginning with God, who was in perfect communion with God. He creates, he brings life to all things, and then he comes in. Listen to this in verse 9 through 13. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The world comes into the world, like the word comes into the world. This light comes into this dark world, and the world didn't recognize him. The light of life walks into our world, and his own people did not receive, did not recognize this Jesus Christ. Here's one thing that should tell us. It's hard to see Jesus. It's not just that we, you know, are really great people. You know, if you're a person of faith today and you've put your faith in Jesus Christ, it's not just because you're incredibly awesome. You know, my mind can kind of see Jesus, you know, like it's something we could almost boast in. Like, I know this Jesus, you know, I didn't miss the light of the world. What we're going to see in the story of John is the reason every single person knows about him is because he came for them. They didn't see him, and he had to turn the lights on in each of their lives. He's coming is what this is kind of about. He's coming, and it's a sad reality that a lot of times we don't see him. And how true is that for a lot of us in our own lives? Every single day, there's an opportunity for us to meet and encounter God every day. He's there. He's with us. But how many of us go through our day, and at the end of the day, we didn't see him? We didn't recognize him. He's the life. He's the light of all men. And we can do the same thing. One great question. I've been talking a lot about how to pause in your life, how to reflect on your day. Here's a great question that you can ask. You can use this in your time with God. Jesus, where were you today in my day? It's hard to recognize him. You need to take some time and you need to think about that. When you start looking, it's kind of amazing where you start seeing him. In a hug from your child. You know, a greeting that you weren't expecting from someone. In the comfort on your sofa. I mean, it's kind of a weird thing when you start asking him, where were you today? He might start lighting up your eyes and showing you where he was. But this is a pattern. He comes into the world and we do not receive him. We do not recognize him. But here's the amazing thing. He's coming for us. And this John is like, he's like going ahead of himself. He really, in some ways, it feels like he gets ahead of himself in this passage. Like, if it were me, as I was looking through this, I was like, man, he kind of jumps out of order. This next part where he talks about receiving him and becoming sons and daughters, I would have thought would be at the end. It's like he's too excited and he has to tell you. But seriously, if you see him, if you recognize him, if you receive him, do you know what happens? He gives the right to become children of God. What in the world? You know, recently, and I don't know if this has happened yet, but remember the like over $1 billion lottery that just, I think it was probably like 9 months ago that was happening. I think it got up to like 1.6 billion, somewhere around that. Do y'all remember that? I think it actually still has not been turned in, which that's crazy. But you just have to think, you know, a lot of us think of security in terms of money. What does it mean to be part of God's inheritance or his children? The one who owns everything, the cattle on 1,000 hills, but also the billions of galaxies are his. What does it mean for you to be loved by that God? To be brought into a childlike relationship with him, where he will provide for you, where he will care for you, where he will give you comfort, where he will support you, where he will never leave, never forsake you. The Father who comes and just loves and loves and loves you and says, I'm with you. I'm going to send my Holy Spirit just to be in you. You have the right. Let me tell you, this is just, it's a warning to you. If you get a glimpse of him, receive him, is what I would say. If you just barely see him today in your life and say, I kind of am interested in that Jesus Christ, what I would say is grab him, receive him now. Because to those who receive him, he gives the right to become children of God. And you can't work that out. You just can't work it. It's not like a birth. It's not like you can plan this thing. It's not like how we have, you know, like the passage tells us here, it's not of the will of man. This birth can't happen of the will of man. Can't happen through sexual activity, the passage is saying. This is all of God. God's doing is here in this where he makes you his kids. He just comes into your life and he gives you a new home. A new family, new siblings. Man, what an amazing reality. Recognize and receive are the two truths here. What if we became people that started recognizing Jesus throughout our day? Just try to recognize where God is. Maybe to even look around, the Word made everything. What's that bush in the back of your yard, those flowers? What are they talking about? What are they showing? What are they revealing? It's an incarnation of Jesus Christ's love. This whole world is just an incarnation of his majesty, of his existence. It's all here because he is life. I love how Pastor Eugene Peterson put this section. So I want to read it to you. It's from The Message. It says, he was in the world, and the world was there through him, and yet the world didn't even notice. He came to his own people, but they didn't want him. But whoever did want him, who believed he was who he claimed, and would do what he said, he made to be their true selves, their child of God selves. The reason I like that last line, he gave them the right, or he made them to be their true selves, their child of God selves, is each and every one of us are looking for who we really are. And it is the Word, it is Jesus Christ who has come and he shows us who we really are. He makes us to be our child of God selves. That is the truest thing that can be true about you if you receive him, that you are a beloved child of God. He is your Father. There is no greater reality than that. That is the truest thing you can say about yourself if you receive him. I love that line. He made them to be their child of God selves. How awesome would that just be to consider that this week in your time, to as you're writing maybe in this journal, to meditate on that, to think, do I really believe that? Do I really believe he has made me his child? Then John tells us the word becomes flesh. Let's read this in verse 14 through 18. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. We have seen his glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me because he was before me.' For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He has made him known." So here, John introduces the incarnation. This is John's way of telling you what, you know, Matthew and Luke talk about, just the birth scene. This is his birth scene. The word becomes flesh. To even consider that, to consider that the life that was the light of all men, he takes on flesh. He becomes flesh and he dwells with us. He moves into our neighborhood. To even consider that is so mind-bogglingly hard. The eternal God, the eternal begotten Son of God, becomes flesh and dwells with us. We're able to see him. John even says that. We have seen his glory. They've seen God himself. He's full of grace, full of truth. It is this glory that's amazing. The glory has something to do, which I love how he puts it, glory as of the only Son from the Father. There is a glory to this relationship that they have. This is the Son of the Father. Jesus is the one that says, if you've seen me, you've seen my Father. He comes, he becomes flesh so we can see him, so we can hear him, so we can know him. And when we look at Jesus, we're able to see the Father. When we hear Jesus speak, we're able to hear the Father. When we look at the cross of Jesus Christ, we're able to see something about the Father. When we look at the resurrection, we're able to see something about the Father. When we just look at Jesus, we're able to know something about God. We're able to know something amazing about God. When he comes into the world, he is not there to condemn it. He is not there to destroy it. To these people that have turned their backs, that have rebelled against him, that have gone against the laws that he gave Moses, that have worshiped other gods, that have not taken the Sabbath, that have not honored their father, they have killed each other, they have stolen, they have committed adultery. He comes to this place, and what does he do? He says, I'll take all that from you. I'll take all your sin, and I see you. I see you. I see you in your pain, in your struggle. I'm coming to show you what God the Father thinks of you, how he wants to be with you. And the glory of Jesus Christ is that he's going to make us sons too, and daughters too. This glory that John saw, that glory amongst Son and Father, right before this, he told us, we get to become children of God. That is the most glorious thing that can be said about us. Because this is the most glorious thing that is true of Jesus Christ, that he is the one who reveals our Father. Today, I want you to just consider the grace and truth that John talks about, that Jesus has towards you. Jesus wants us all to deal with him two ways, and he likes them to happen simultaneously as much as possible. He brings us grace and truth. Today, all of us, there's an invitation for us to come and meet with God and meet with Jesus in reality, in the truth of who we are and in the truth of who he is. When Jesus shows up on this earth, he doesn't just put away truth. He doesn't put away that, hey, sin kills your soul. You know those behaviors? The way you treat others? The way you think about others? The pride in your life? He doesn't just like go, hey, don't worry about that. He actually will come into your life and shine a light on it. But also, how does he relate? Grace. This Jesus Christ, the way he relates to us with grace and truth is how we all should thrive. He comes to you and he lets you know, hey, just to let you know, every single part of your relationship with me, everything that's needed for you to become a child of God is on me. I'm going to accomplish what you could not, and I want to give you grace upon grace. When you fall down again, when you sin again, man, I understand. You were hurt back then. This thing that you keep doing is trying to fill a void that only I can answer. You keep doing that same thing because you like, honestly, you like it. You like the way it feels when you put others down, the way you talk about them. You like the way you look, you know, at women, the way you think about others. Those things are killing you though. And he comes to us with grace. He says, look, come back to me. I am where you will be completely fulfilled. This Jesus Christ, the Word who was with God, the Word who was God, the Word who is in the beginning with God, he comes to you today and he offers you this type of relationship, one with grace and truth. It is an overwhelming grace. It is a grace that makes you see how loved you are. But this truth is one that you get to see, oh man, I need grace. And those two realities are where we can become children of God when we look at our own lives the way that Jesus looks at our lives, is where we can start having freedom. We can talk about who we really are. We can talk about our struggle, but we can also talk about our salvation. We can talk about our sin, and we can talk about our Father. We can handle those two things, and we can walk with each other in a way that is just the way that Jesus walks on this world. Today, John sets us. He sets this foundation to his book, and he sets it in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God, the Word, who is God, who became flesh so that we might become sons and daughters of God. This is where John starts us, and he wants to lay this foundation. Jesus Christ is the light of all men, And he's come to bring each and every one of us life. From here, I want to invite you. Where do I go with this? Read this, okay? Like application from today, would you take this home? Would you use this for the next 3 months? This is a tool. This applies to the message today. Would you dig in this passage a little bit? That one little tool that I gave you already today, God, where are you? Where were you in my day today? Take that and maybe write in here. Write in your own journal if you have it. Try to meet him. Meet Jesus Christ here in his word. Meet him in your prayer. Over the next few months, we're going to have a lot of opportunities. And we want this, along with a lot of the things that we're going to be doing as our church, to help us engage our hearts with our Father. So if you would, let's pray. God, I come to you right now, and I just ask, God, would you work? Would you do your work in each of us to let us know what it means to really become a child of God? God, in this room today, I know that there is struggle, there is hurt, there is pain. God, there's success, there is joy. God, would you meet us today in this room through your word? Jesus, we ask that in this time, as we respond, that we would honor you with that response. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.